On today's show, we welcome Jenna Sayer-Seafried, all the way from Calgary, Canada. Welcome, Jen.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here chatting with you. Thanks for having me on.
I'm very excited about this one, and I know a lot of the people I know and that listen to the show will also be very intrigued to hear about your story. I've been tracking you along for a little while, but for those people who don't know you, tell us a little bit about your endurance life.
Sure. So it kind of started when I was in my mid-20s. I found endurance sports. I was never active as a kid. I was kind of more the chubby kid with my nose in a book most of the time. But it when I was in my early 20s, I started to gain a lot of weight, just kind of working the office job. You know, we go for pints after work and going out shooting pool. I never really did anything active. And one day, it was kind of, it's funny, sometimes you have to have that moment where you're like, okay, this isn't healthy, this is going too far. And for me, that was, I found stretch marks on my thighs from gaining so much weight so quickly. I was like, okay, no, this has to change, can't keep going this way. and at that point, I actually went right to a gym, and they happened to have a weight loss competition that was starting in a week, a happenstance. And I had always been competitive, I just sucked at sports, so I was like, okay, I can go all in on this and try to make a difference, because I was about 50 pounds overweight, and I just decided at that point something needed to change. From there, ended up losing about 30 pounds at that point, and kind of went on a path of gaining and losing 30 pounds every year. I'd go hard, eat healthy, try some fad diet, lose some weight, go back to the pub and playing pool and gain it all back again. And happened for a few years. It's too easy for it to come back on.
I think everybody, like not everybody, but I think a lot of people that have the weight loss journey feel that. Like I mentioned to you just off air a moment ago that my wife and I have both lost staggering amounts of weight, not nearly as staggering as yours. But, you know, I found that like whilst my wife has sort of just come down and she'll either hold steady or drop. Mine came all the way down, and then all of a sudden I did the same thing. I sort of just turned around. I'm like, oh, I stepped on the scales one day and I'd lost like, I don't know, 18, and then I'd put back on 8, and I thought, uh-oh, if I actually don't really make a lifestyle change, I will be back to where I was, if not worse. And that was my signal to turn it around. So that's very intriguing that's what's happened for you.
Yeah, and it's so tough because people and myself as well, I would go all in so hard, eating just healthy food, but really boring, dull food, and go hard at the gym for a while. And it wasn't sustainable when my only motivation at that time was to look better. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted to look leaner. I wanted to look like I was in shape. It wasn't until I found triathlon, excuse me, where the goal became about performance instead of how I looked, where I actually made that mind shift, because looking good wasn't important enough to me. Actually finding out what my body was capable of was something that really excited me, really intrigued me. And I was, like I said before, competitive at the same time. So when I started seeing if I ate better, if I trained harder, then I was going to do better in these races and start podiuming and winning. That's what it kind of took for me to finally get into a good lifestyle, good habit. And it wasn't, I stopped having to think about the weight loss or trying to stay in shape. It was just, I have these big, crazy goals that I want to go after. And that kept me motivated to kind of eat better and train harder.
Weight loss is a side benefit.
Exactly. Yeah. And once I started looking at it that way, I wasn't thinking about my next meal or trying to restrict myself like crazy or following these crazy bad diets. It was just, okay, what do I need to fuel myself to actually be able to do better at this sport? Because I love triathlon. So I want to do well at it.
So you've lost this weight, you're up, you're down. A friend introduces you to triathlon? I mean, you've got that competitive spirit, but how did that come about?
Funny enough, it was because I moved to a small town in Texas at the time. My husband's work transferred us to Midland, Texas, and I had to wait about 6 months for a work visa. I just, once again, lost a bunch of weight and was looking for a way to keep it off, but also a way to meet people. Knew no one down there, couldn't work for 6 months. So a running club started up the next week. Again, it seems like some of these timings just happen to work out perfectly for my journey, but a running club was just starting up in this small town. And I was like, okay, I've never run a kilometer or a mile or anything in my life, but I need to just get out of the house, right? So I ended up joining the running club. I hated it for the first month, every step we ran, but it gave me a chance to talk to people. So I kept doing it. And it wasn't until the first 5 kilometer race I did. Now, this was a small town, keep in mind, but I went and did the 5 kilometer race and I ended up winning it.
What?
And that's when the competitive nature was like, oh, we like this feeling. It wasn't anything crazy. I think it was like a 24 minute 5K or something. But there weren't many runners around town, so that was enough on that day. And then I jumped right into the training. I always liked the longer runs, so I started training for a half marathon right away. Ended up doing a half marathon about 12 weeks after I did my first run with the club and did well there. Started training for a marathon and got a pelvic stress fracture.
Oh, gosh.
Which is, yeah, less than ideal.
Is that from running?
From running, yeah.
Wow.
It was a case of way too much too soon. So I was up to like 100 kilometer weeks, 3 months or so after I started running, and that just is not advised.
It's hard to know where, sorry to cut you off, it's hard to know where the limit is. Like if you can run 30 kilometers, why not 31? In my mind, I struggle with, you know, how to pull up and only do like a certain level or a certain volume or a certain distance or a certain speed. Well, actually, no, I'm limited by speed, but a lot of those other things I struggle to know where's too much and where's too little.
Absolutely. And I had never, I'd never done sport when I was younger. So I hadn't had those experiences of kind of listening to your body or figuring out what's good pain, what's bad pain. It was all just, oh, I've got a plan in front of me. Do exactly what that says.
and it doesn't seem like that's something that would heal very quickly.
No, it was misdiagnosed a few times. So it ended up taking about 4 months before I could start to run again. So in that time, just kind of under doctors and my runner friends' advices, I started kind of trying to bike a little bit at the, you know, the gym bikes, spin bikes there, and got in a pool and did my first 25 meters in a pool and thought I was going to die legitimately. But I had gotten kind of this endurance bug and I wanted to be able to keep healthy so that I'd be able to get back into running. And just kind of started to get into that more and more. And there happened to be a local triathlon that was going to be there in the summer and decided, well, I'm already doing these two. Maybe I should actually get a bicycle, get outside and give triathlon a go because a number of the runners were doing it. So I ended up signing up for that. And then I was kind of finally healthy enough that I could start running again, got into the training and was really, really enjoying the training. And then I did what I have a tendency to do. And instead of doing the sprint distance in 4 months, I signed up for the half Ironman. That was 10 weeks after I decided to do a triathlon.
Goodness, so, great. Oh, yeah. Okay. Whoa.
No. You may see a pattern here.
yes. But that's a crazy distance. Like I've been, as a family, we've been doing sprints. And then I did an entire stuff with my dad. And like the sprint ones here get a little bit bigger. And I'm thinking, I could probably do Olympic and maybe one day. What? You're like, you're this.
That's the smart way to do it. I'll say that.
Wow. Okay. That seems really intriguing to me because, you know, when you said that you swam 25 meters and you felt like you were going to die, so many people, I'm convincing as many people as I can to do triathlon. I'm like, I'm over it. I'm like, oh, it's so great. And you finish and just doing it and it's awesome. And then the stories usually come back from the people that I convince. They're probably hating me at the time when they're doing their first 25 meters. But most people in the pool are like, oh, I've just managed to get to halfway down the lap and I grab a lane rope. That's a very big difference between that and what is it, like 1.9K swim?
I have a little bit of a habit of that. And that was, it kind of, the training started going really well and that's what motivated me to kind of jump in. And I was just really eager to actually try my first one, I guess.
Yeah, but I'm that was impressed.
my
I'm impressed because you know what? Sometimes, I mean, look, okay, apart from the injury that you sustained, and you can tell that we both have sort of similar mindsets, I guess, to that. But you jump in and you commit, and then all of a sudden, you just have to like follow through and try to make it happen. And by the sounds of it, you do.
And that was, you know, that was actually what got me through that first triathlon. It was Ironman Buffalo Springs 70.3. And it was my first time doing an open water swim, first time putting on a wetsuit. And about 300 meters in, I was having a full on panic attack. I was like, I can't do this. It's just not going to happen. I should turn around now. But I had spent so much time training for it. And I had a ton of like friends out there from the running club that were, you know, cheering and supporting. And I had told people I was going to go do this. And that was kind of the only thing that kept me going at that point was not only my own expectations, but the support and encouragement I had gotten from other people. So I was like, okay, I didn't put in all this time and travel up here. And even though some people told me not to do as mm-hmm. my first one to turn around 300 meters in. So that yeah. kind of got me through the swim.
That's a tricky place, you know, like 300 meters again, like that would have been an impressive swim compared to you, you know, when on day one, Jenna, when that's in that 25 meter pool, a 300 meter swim is a long way. But you know, to paint the picture, you're not just, oh, I was by the sidewalk and I could have walked home. You're out in the open yeah. water 300 meters out. Oh gosh,
that was so terrifying at the time.
What a story.
And actually within triathlon, like it was probably 3 or 4 years before I started not having little panic attacks in the water, actually. Mm. That was always my biggest struggle. And like I had won races where I had to stop in the water and just breathe for a second because I was freaking out a little bit. So if you're not a confident swimmer, you can still get through triathlon, I promise. You just have to take a couple moments there to calm down a little bit. And
it does tend to be your bearings. It does tend to be the one thing, like most people have probably ridden a bike, everybody can walk or jog, but it's the swim, and it certainly was the swim that terrified me. Like I did a triathlon when I was in year seven, and I was in a pool, and they had to throw me a kickboard. So like that's, and so I really just have never swum, and it is terrifying, the idea of just drowning or, you know, having these panic attacks. And you're saying that went on for so long. What was it that, was it just the fact that you'd been in there so long that helped you to conquer that? Or what ended up being the thing that sort of allowed that to melt away?
You know, I think it was a couple things. Just each time it got a little bit less, a little bit less. But I think the biggest thing was when I actually invested in a wetsuit that fit me properly before I was using hand-me-downs that friends had given me and stuff. And I think there was a lot of restriction in the chest on top of just general anxiety in the water. But after a few years, just experience and then finding a wetsuit that actually let me breathe a little bit better, that's when it started to get a lot better.
Wow. I could have put $100 down. Like if I'd have like written out all of the guesses as to what it would have been. yes, the experience, but the wetsuit, gosh, that wouldn't have made the list. Isn't that intriguing? Having the right gear.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's cool. I bet you're very happy with that wetsuit provider after that swim.
Absolutely. So yeah, Jen, then from, yeah, go ahead.
Keep going. Go on.
No, I was just going to say after that triathlon, I just, kind of fell in love with the sport and ended up doing that sprint about a month later and just went full on into it after that.
Yeah. So what happened? Let's continue on this journey. So you dive in, you're jumping into this half Ironman, then this next event, like what does it look like thereafter? Is it just event, or what's that been like for you?
So from there, about a year later, I did my first Ironman. I did one more 70.3 before that Ironman. So I, again, just decided to go for the big one. Mm. And I did Ironman Sweden in Kalmar, which was absolutely incredible. But I found out early on, I really enjoyed the long stuff. I didn't have that foundation of kind of speed from years of sport, but I was really good at just keep going. So the training suited me well for Ironman and ended up going out there and placing third in my age group, which was just beyond what I thought was kind of possible, which was very, very cool for me. But it was a year where I really found out what my body was capable of. I never thought I could finish an Ironman, never mind, you know, do well in one. And actually, I remember the first time I heard about what Ironman was at a half marathon. Someone pointed out the MDOT tattoo and said, oh, that's that person's done an Ironman. I was like, what's that? And they told me, and I was like, why would anyone ever want to do that?
Yep, I've thought that before.
Yeah. And about 18 months later, I did an Ironman.
Isn't it? It's, the time frames are almost like unbelievable. Like, and I know that it's real, but it's just such a compacted version. And it seems interesting to me that this has allowed you to see the world by the sounds of it as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It actually worked out really well because with my husband's work, we traveled around a fair bit. So I was living in Scotland at the time I did Ironman Sweden. So it wasn't as crazy of a trip as it sounds like. But it really has, especially once I joined, I'm part of MX Endurance, the triathlon team that was started by Chris McCormick. And once I joined that team, we had meetups kind of all over the world and ended up racing 1 year in 7 different countries. Just because there are different teammates meeting up at different races. And I was like, oh, I'll go do that. Go see somewhere new. So it's been a really fun journey, just kind of exploring the world and seeing what I can do.
Well, see that he's a guru. So is
yeah.
Yeah. So how did that come to be? So you're an MX coach. So tell us a bit about that and what it was like, I guess, coming into that group.
Sure. So it's kind of funny how it worked out. When I had that running injury, I started just reading any books I could find on endurance sports, running, triathlon. And Chris McCormick's book was actually one of the books that I read while I had that downtime. And I really got a better sense of kind of what Ironman was. And at that time, just a few months after that, he actually announced a race a triathlon team that he was starting up. And kind of the thought behind it was he had met people around the world and that they had all kind of helped along his journey by having different areas where he can tap into kind of training with people everywhere, wherever he goes. And he wanted to create a community that was the same for age groupers, where we can have people all over the world and say you're going to go visit the UK. Then you can tap in with members there and go do some training with them and just have these different meetups all over the place. So that seemed like a really fun way because I had just moved to Scotland, didn't know anyone, didn't know anyone in the triathlon or running club. So this was kind of a cool way where I could chat with people online, at least, who were doing some of the races in the country or had experience with them. And so that way I got to meet a lot of people from just everywhere, which was a lot of fun. And Mako was really engaged with it too and kind of giving it advice and answering questions. And I think that helped a lot in the early started my triathlon because I was getting just some feedback from someone who obviously knows triathlon very, very well. but also other members who are racing and kind of had some great advice as well. And then there was the first team meetup was in just outside of Barcelona at Challenge Calella. Not entirely sure how to pronounce it, but we had a team meetup, about 7 members, and Mako was there. And it was the first time just kind of getting together with a triathlon team and being a part of a group that was so passionate about this sport and being able to kind of share your war stories, share advice, and just kind of race and train together, which made it added a whole nother aspect to the sport for me, which was very, very cool.
Because it can be a very individual sport. Like, even though you can train with people, but you know, you're going to find yourself in the pool, you're doing laps, or if you're in the open water, there might be others around. But cycling and running, you can run with others, but you tend to not always run at the same speed or ride at the same speed. So that is interesting that the community aspect really took it up a notch for you, because you're obviously very competitive, you're very self-driven, which is awesome. But then this obviously took it to another level.
Yeah, there's something about the triathlon community and just people who understand it, because to most people, triathlon and the training that we do sounds insane. But when you're surrounded even virtually by people who that's their day to day as well, it's just a whole nother level of kind of motivation and support when they actually kind of get it.
And you're probably looking at some of those people, like you said, Maka. You're looking at Maka and he's just killing it. He's got a book out. He knows mm-hmm. all this stuff about everything. And, you know, whilst you're devouring knowledge, it's going to take you a little bit of time to get to where he's at. Is that what then sort of drifted you towards the coaching path? Because you thought, I'm just going to like dive, you know, again, all in to really sort of understand everything top to bottom about this thing to help yourself, but also to help others?
Yeah, so that was actually a little more inspired by my own coach. His name's Lucho. He's on actually the Endurance Planet podcast. But he's taught me so much. And actually, I trusted him a couple times before he'd take me on because I was brand new in the sport and like, hey, I want to do Ironman. He's like, okay. but he definitely got me there. But it's kind of been his direction and everything that he's taught me and a lot more about kind of the interactions between coach and athlete. And they kind of become not only your coach, but a mentor, a shoulder to cry on at times, and someone who always has your back. And I really enjoyed having that relationship with my own coach. And that's something that I want to pass on, that kind of knowledge and that experience, to other people, because I'd heard so many stories of terrible coaching experiences or people who just kind of copy and paste workouts. And I really felt that I had learned a lot in the sport, and I wanted to help other people kind of realize what they're capable of and that this is possible. You don't have to come from being a star athlete in school to get into triathlon and actually have some success in it. You can start from anywhere, and so much of this journey, it's such a cool experience to see what your body can actually do. And I wanted to, yeah, share that with people.
And it's like, you know, you're calling out to someone that's in the bar, put the half drunk pint down, the pool cue down, walk out of the bar, head home, sleep off the alcohol, wake up tomorrow, come see me. I'll show you how it's done.
Absolutely. It's yes. possible. That's I what like. I want to show. It's possible.
And you really had like a massive transformation, you know, to lose 50 pounds. I mean, you know, I just always divide pounds by two. So 25 kilograms, whether that's right or not. You've traveled, you've built this big network of people. You've now gained these skills as a coach. You're this super empowering lady. What other benefits do you think that living this endurance life has brought to you?
You know, one of the biggest gains that I got from this whole experience was a lot more confidence. I was definitely a pretty meek and quiet child growing up. And just seeing how much more I was capable of really opened my eyes, not only at athletic level, but to say, hey, if I can do this, what else can I do? And that's when I started to do things like traveling a little bit more, trying to learn more about the coaching, but just putting myself out there. I would go to these races where before I joined MX, where I didn't know anyone there. So I'd be forced to talk to people or else I'm just standing around the whole time, and that's no fun. And that's something that would have terrified me before. I couldn't go up to a random stranger and talk to them. But when you have something like triathlon where you're all invested in the community, you're all working towards the same thing, it made it easier for me to go talk to random people. And that's something that's absolutely served me well as I kind of get into the coaching more, start doing more kind of clinics and actually having to speak in public. That's something that triathlon actually gave me, was just that confidence to go out there and go after the things I want, because I'm capable of more than just kind of sitting by quietly and letting life pass by. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
I like that. I like that. I find it, isn't it interesting? Like, I'm just sitting here now thinking that it's interesting to see you so confident, in such great shape, really living the life of your dreams, just from someone peering in. And we all have our struggles, we all have our challenges, whatever else. But, you know, you really are just showing that it is possible to be light years from where you were just simply by taking action. And okay, some things might have to fall into place. And is that serendipitous, you know, where some of these doors have opened at the right time, but you would never have been at the door had it not been for you taking the actions that you took. Do you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really been a wild, wild ride, and I appreciate the kind words. Thank you.
Oh gosh. You know, it's inspiring.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I hope to pass a little bit of it along, right? I've been inspired by so many people through social media and through like my triathlon team, and I'm happy if I can even pass on a fraction of that, because none of this really would have been possible without the people who helped me along the way, just either from giving me information or encouragement or cheering me on, it really, it makes a huge difference when you don't feel like you're doing this alone. So I hope to do the same for a few other people as well.
Do you ever catch up with people from the old office job bar life? Like, are you connected with any of those? Because it would have been interesting for those people to have seen that transformation.
Not so much from the old office team, but I did have my high school 10-year reunion after I moved back to Calgary, just about a year after I'd done Ironman. And that's where there was some shocked kind of faces.
Yeah, but people might not have recognized you.
Yeah, it was definitely a whole different person from the high school days. So that was really interesting to be able to catch up with people and kind of hear their perceptions of me in school as well. And that was kind of an eye-opener of how far it actually come. So yeah, it was kind of fun.
I like it. And you seem to be able to fit just an absolute, an amazing amount of things into your life. You know, like you're a parent, you're a coach, you're training for all these events, you're a NUMA model. Tell us about all this. How do you fit it all in?
Oh, that's a good question. No, it's been, I've tried to expand things as I get a little bit more time. So after I did Ironman, I took a couple of years off racing to have my son, have some downtime after that. And when he was very young, training was kind of intermittent. It was while he was napping, I had the baby monitor on, like, okay, just nap so I can get in this last interval. A lot of time with the jogging stroller, which thankfully he loved, which made it a lot easier to get some run time in. But now it's around scheduling. Before, when I used to have the time, I'd kind of get around to training sessions eventually, you know, maybe take a half hour to get going, get out the door. But now it's just about, okay, I have this time to train. I have to go now. There's no in 15 minutes or in another 10 minutes or have another coffee. This is your time. Get it done. So it's gotten a little easier this past year with my son being in a preschool. So that gives me a little bit more time to work and train and fit it in. But the biggest thing is just one, scheduling everything in so I can get the training in where I have time, like nap times or preschool, and get my work done as well. And then on weekends, just family support, being able to go do long training sessions on the weekends so that I can fit in the stuff I need to. And then, in the evenings, have time to sit down and make sure that my athletes are taken care of. And yeah, it's really just trying to schedule everything. It's a constantly changing schedule, but at the same time, triathlon coaching is my full-time job. So I'm not doing a day job at the same time, which makes a huge difference. I can do my work kind of anywhere at any time, which makes it a lot more flexible.
That's interesting too. So there's two parts of that I would like to drill a little further in. So you've got on this journey. I mean, you're moving around. So whilst hubby sounds super supportive, it sounds like his job actually does move you guys a bit. Is that like a worldly moving job? Like, you're in Scotland at one point, now you're in Canada, and you're moving all around. Is that due to hubby's work?
Yeah, so that was actually up until after our son was born. Our last spot was in Denver. But after we had our son, we decided we wanted to move back home and just kind of stay put for a while. So I've been in one place for about 3 years now and plan on sticking around for a while, which makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, kids do help a lot of people to put down roots. So that's interesting. Yeah. But when you've landed in Canada, was it just straight into triathlon coaching, or like, did you have to leap from another job to get over and then start taking that up?
Sure. So my background was in project management and telecommunications. And then when we moved to Scotland, I knew I'd only be there for about a year. So getting started with a new company and ramping everything up is always tough. So I decided instead to actually get my personal training certification. Again, kind of the same motivation. A personal trainer had helped me actually start to lose weight, start to be athletic. So I wanted to do the same for other people and kind of share the things that I'd learned. So I started a personal training company in Scotland and did that for about the year, which again, it coincided well because I had just gotten into triathlon and was training for Ironman. So I could be a little bit more flexible with my schedule there as well. I had done the day job and training while I was training for the first few triathlons, and it was definitely a little bit easier having a more flexible schedule, being my own boss for a while. And then, yeah, I took a couple years off, again, with having my son and the downtime there. And it was, I've been coaching some friends kind of not officially for years, but it was about, I guess, a year and a half ago where I decided to make it official as my full-time job. So it worked out pretty well. I was training for the long distance world championships, and I spent that year kind of updating my education and planning everything, setting up to launch this coaching business. And the plan was to launch it after the world championships, and ended up winning my age group in the world championships, perfect time to announce.
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations. Well earned by the sounds of it.
Yeah, the time worked out really well with that, where it's like, hey, I'm starting a coaching business, and then I won, and then kind of progressed it from there. So that's when I started doing it officially as my job. And and then about actually almost exactly a year ago, I got approached by MX to come on as a triathlon coach for them as well. So that's when I started working with the team there, and I'd been a member of the team for 5 years at that point. So it was very cool to have the opportunity to actually work with the team at a deeper level and, again, bring some of the knowledge that I had to our athletes that are on the team.
My gosh. Okay. So you win. What is that your favorite? Like, I mean, from the girl on the bar, I just love the story. So is that your favorite endurance event memory? That one?
Yep, it would have to be.
Can you tell us a bit about that? Like,
So it was a little tumultuous there. I actually, my big race for that season was Ironman Canada, because I'd come so close to qualifying for Kona in my first Ironman. After having my son, I wanted, okay, I'm going to do Ironman Canada, try to get that qualification. And I ended up twisting my ankle in a gopher hole at the kids' race the day before. I got about, it was like 160K into the bike ride. No, 120K into the bike ride before, and my ankle was so swollen, I just couldn't keep going. And I was like, well, there's no way I can run. I can barely pedal at this point. Mm-hmm. So ended up, it was a month between Ironman Canada and the long distance world championships. And I was in a state at that point. That was a tough month because I couldn't run for most of that month, just trying to let my ankle heal up. So I was a bit of a mess there. And actually, going back to like the weight loss thing, I'm a very emotional eater. Mm-hmm. I ended up gaining about 7 pounds in that month, which is like 3 kg for my frame. That was a lot of weight in a month. still triathlon training.
Just painting the picture again of, like, you know, how hard it must have been being off when you're so competitive and you're in this dream, almost might feel like it's slipping from the fingertips. Food is a bit of a fun thing. I'm not gonna lie, like, that's how I got overweight. Like, I don't mind eating as well, especially when things are a bit tough.
Yeah, and that emotional eating, that was always my problem before, and it hadn't come into play as much. So I thought it was something that was over. But when I was really down and I was injured and just everything had gone sideways from the racing standpoint, that's definitely where I turned. And I learned a lot from that as well afterwards. I didn't realize that I still had that connection to it to that extent, right? But yeah, so went into it and I went into the World Champs with almost no expectations at that point. I was meeting a bunch of team members down there, so I was excited for that. And it was in Penticton, Canada, which is not too far from me either. So it was nice to have a local World Championships. And so head down there and just got started in the race, not expecting too much. Did my swim, got onto the bike. I was feeling kind of okay. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I can do something here, right? So it was about halfway through the bike where I started really remembering why I love to race and why I was out there, which probably helped me not overcook it in the first half of the bike. From there, I decided, no, I want this. I worked my butt off all year to get fit, and I at least have to finish this knowing that I gave it everything. And from that point in the bike, just started going hard, and ended up, I got out of the water, I think, like third from last, so it wasn't a great swim. And the nice part about being a mediocre swimmer and a stronger biker is I get to pass people all throughout the course, and which That's gives you a little bump each time. Yeah, gives you a little bit of a bump.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I've talked about it a few times, but it does sometimes feel like when people blitz past me on the bike, I always just want to look at my – I don't always, but I have an urge to look at my pedals and just make sure that I'm pedaling in the right direction. Yeah. How is it that they're going so fast? So that's interesting. So the confidence is just growing and growing and growing. You're just mowing down people as you pass. Okay.
Yeah. And then so the last part of the long-distance triathlon is a 30K run. So got out there and I was feeling surprisingly good. Going into the race, I wasn't exactly sure I could run 30K at this point. I hadn't run longer than a half hour in the last month. So it's just like, okay, let's see what happens. And, started running and felt pretty good. It ended up being a really hot day, which I think helped me a little bit. I'm pretty good in the heat. But just started racing hard, legs came good, and I was like, hey, I've got to give everything on this 30K. Just, I've worked so hard. And going on about 20K into the run, my husband runs alongside me. He says, you're in fourth, here's the number first, you can get her. And he's kind of like a no bullshit guy. So like, hey, there has to be something that he knows if he thinks I can actually get there. And I said, well, where's third? He's like, it doesn't matter, get first. God. You're saying this 20K into the, 20K into the race, everything's hot and hurting. I'm like, okay, got it. So because it was the first time I'd actually really had someone on course giving me an idea of where I was. So I found first place because there was a ton of out and backs the whole way. I think there was like four or five of them where we just did out and backs. So I found where she was and I was like, okay, I gotta go for this. She's not that far off. And just gave absolutely everything I had for that last 10K of the race. And I think I ended up passing her about 4 kilometers, 3 or 4 kilometers from the finish line. And
oh, wow.
It just, yeah, I just gave everything. I crossed that finish line and my whole body just seized and cramped up. I've never felt pain like that after a race, but it was so satisfying in a way to know that I had left nothing out there. And when they passed me, someone passed me a Canadian flag at some point as I was running down the finish line, and to be able to hold that over my head knowing that I'd won was just the craziest experience ever.
Oh my goodness, I've got goosebumps. That's so cool. That's so cool.
On a side note, it's really hard to run holding a flag over your head. It looks easy, but
yeah,
it's harder than you think.
When you think of that, especially after, you know, the swim and the ride and just pushing your body through all of that, that is intriguing, actually, that you say that. You can just put it around your neck and wear it like a cape at this point. You're like Superwoman coming over the lawn. So I find that there are so many gems here about your mindset and how, you know, it just seems to you like, you know, well, I just get in and I do it. And there would be tough times where you must be like, oh my God, what did I sign up for again? But what do you think, to you, like, cause I really would love to dig into this. What do you think makes up a successful mindset?
So that's always a tough one. I think part of it is your environment, and part of it, I think people are just born with it sometimes. Like, I've always been fairly driven. It was never in sports because I sucked at anything that requires hand-eye coordination. So that went by the wayside quickly. Mm-hmm. But I've always kind of been driven to go after goals. And luckily, I had great parents who always told me, like, you can do anything if you actually put your mind to it. And that's something that I believed them. And something that they always instilled in me, and that's taken me pretty far in my life, where I'm like, well, if I go all in, if someone else can do this, there's no reason I can't too. It's not impossible. I like it. So I think that's pushed me to try a lot of things that I wouldn't have otherwise, or some people don't, because I'm like, well, why not? If they can do it, why can't I do it too? Right or wrong, that's gotten me into a lot of things.
Yeah. And so you mentioned, actually, one other thing about this mindset thing I'd be interested to know. I was going to ask a little bit earlier on, but you've had this transformation, and then someone comes and taps you on the shoulder or something along those lines, and then they say to you, hey, we'd like you to be a model. What was that like?
That was interesting. So I started growing my social media about a year before I announced the coaching, because I knew I wanted to start coaching, but I didn't really have anyone to advertise to. I just moved back to Calgary. The only people that I was training with were already part of a club, and that didn't seem cool to start poaching people from the club. So I started trying to, build up the social media. And through that, I started getting some sponsors coming on board, or ambassadorships and stuff, where I was having to get kind of creative with pictures, trying to find new ways to show off like things that I was using in my training and racing. And then got a message from New Models saying that, hey, we'd like to meet with you, and we're doing some work with SportCheck, which is an athletic company here that we think you might be good for. So can you come in and do some test shoots and stuff? So ended up doing that, and it was absolutely terrifying. There's a big difference between all of my pictures are kind of selfies. I'll set up my phone and take video and screenshot the video so I can get all these shots. But there's never anyone behind the camera, so there's no one who sees the terrible shots in between or judges the funny faces I'm doing, right? So that was actually one of the most challenging things I've done, as funny as it sounds. Was it took a lot of introspection to find out for myself why I was initially so insecure in front of the camera, and having someone behind it, why that made me so nervous. And it really forced me to get out of my shell once again a little bit more, to go into these situations where I did have someone taking my picture, and kind of accepting myself that someone thought that this picture would have value, when internally, yes, I'm like, why does anyone want to see this picture of me?
Right? Yes. So the girl from the bar, would the girl from the bar have gone and believed in herself enough to actually then make the jump between, you know, here, you want to take my photo and it's of value? Do you know that one little line that you've just said there, that speaks volumes of where your mindset had gotten to?
Yeah, it was, that was, like I said, that was really tough. A lot of my old insecurities came back, of just kind of wanting to hide in the corners a little bit and just not be seen. Like, and even up until last year, just anytime I had to do any kind of speaking in front of a group of people, whether it was even casual or at somebody's new to triathlon clinics, my face goes bright red and I start just mumbling a little bit, right? Because I had spent so long thinking no one really cared what I had to say, and why would anyone care what I have to say? Mm. And it took a lot of introspection to actually say, okay, maybe I do have something to say. And I had to face those insecurities when suddenly there was someone in front of me saying, okay, now smile, do this pose, do that pose. And it was challenging for the first while. As funny as that sounds with all the endurance sports, that was really hard for me.
I like it. And good on you for getting that opportunity. And one thing that definitely comes through is that when an opportunity presents itself to you, you seize it. So I like that. You know, you're with a few brands. Like, you're an ambassador for a few brands, I see. So tell us about some of those brands you're working with at the moment.
Sure. So the big one, I'm racing with MX Endurance this year, which is awesome. Kind of, I was working with some other brands before, but I just love being able to kind of support and promote this triathlon club that has given me everything. Like, it really opened up my horizons in triathlon, and now coaching for them, it's awesome.
With the MX thing, is this something that people can join? Like, you know, by the way you described it earlier on, if people wanted to join that, they don't have to be in a certain location. How would people join that?
Sure. Yeah. So MX Endurance, it's an online triathlon team. Anyone can join at any point. Check out their website. It's awesome. We're actually doing a giveaway, a Shiv, specialized Shiv. One of Mecca's. We're giving away to one of our members. So it's going to be, if you sign up for MX Endurance, you get an entry to try to win this awesome bike, which is wicked. So a little plug for them there. But check out the website. There's all sorts of different membership options. We've got experts in nutrition, in physio, strength training, mindset, and of course, coaches like myself. And we kind of do meetups all over the world, whether casual ones, or we just had a big meetup in Singapore for Super League Singapore, which was awesome. We got together four teams of athletes, 12 of us, to go actually race for the age group relays, which was so much fun to get everyone together. It's for anyone from complete newbie like I was when I started to like high level athletes trying to podium or win races, and it's just such a fun group of people.
Interesting. Well, thanks for letting me know that. So yeah, who else are you working with?
So this year I partnered with Ventum Racing. So I'm going to be racing on a Ventum 1 this year, my bicycle, which I am absolutely in love with. Her name is Venus. I have to name my bikes. It's a thing.
Okay, no, that's cool.
I'm so excited to actually get out and race on her. I've only had a few handful of rides outside on my Ventum yet, so hopefully the snow will melt around here soon so I can get outside more. and then I'm also working with a local triathlon shop here, Try It Multisport. It's actually two women own and run this store, and they were some of the first people I met in Calgary in the endurance world, and they do a ton of kind of new to triathlon clinics and also put on a women's only race to encourage more women to get into the sport, because it is so empowering. Like, my journey has been just to see that you can do this, and triathlon has been wonderful, and they do a really good job of encouraging the community around here, and they're at every single race cheering people on, which is amazing.
Yeah, well, and it is something like, I, you know, I'm a big advocate for women, and you know, anyone like yourself, because I can be an advocate, but it probably doesn't speak as much as, you know, the other ladies and getting out there and really like promoting that sort of thing. So it's really nice to know that people like yourself and those ladies are doing their bit to really get people off the couch, or just to unlock something inside someone that says, hey, you can do more, you can be more, and you deserve more.
Absolutely. And it can be an intimidating sport to get into. So they make it very, very easy for people to give it a try, which is awesome. Yeah. And then the other couple is just On Running has been my shoe brand. I found them before they came on board and just fell in love with them, so I had to harass them for a while. And I love their shoes. Between the design and the technology, it feels like I'm wearing nearly nothing, which any less weight on your feet just makes it a little bit easier to go forward.
That's true.
Yeah. And then I've got Intrinsy, they're a physio company, and they do all my bike fitting, my physiotherapy, athletic therapy, and that's one area I've really tried to get better at this year, is because I don't have the time to train more. That recovery has really become a key part of my kind of my day-to-day training, and making sure that I'm taking care of my body.
It's interesting. I like that. So taking better care of the beast allows you to enter beast mode with less training.
Absolutely. Yeah. If your body's moving well, it makes such a difference just in recovery, performance, and not getting injured, so you don't have to take that downtime.
So you're a very unique lady. I mean, look, I guess we're all unique snowflakes in our own right. But, you know, obviously you've got this love for triathlon, you're super competitive, but I see that you've also got a love for motorcycles. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yes. it'll sound kind of similar to my triathlon journey, but I grew up around motorcycles. My dad always had one, and eventually decided that I wanted to get one of my own, and that's where I kind of fell in love with carbon fiber and two wheels. And in the way I do, I ended up buying a motorcycle soon after I got my license, after doing a course there in the middle of the winter, unfortunately. But, got a motorcycle and started riding it in the spring the next year. And then a couple weeks later, got on the racetrack. So,
oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah. I had some friends were doing track days and checking it out, and they had the opportunity to hop onto the back of one of these race bikes with an instructor, kind of go around the course. And it was the craziest feeling, just going around these corners with a knee down on the pavement. And from that moment on, I decided I have to do this. I got into that really quickly, kind of playing with super sport motorcycles on the racetrack. Kind of in the same way, ended up destroying my first motorcycle on the racetrack and getting another one and hopping right back on, because I just I loved the thrill of it.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I've seen my, like when I was a kid, my mum went and did one of those ones where they hop on the back and they race around your hot laps, maybe similar to what you're sort of mentioning. But I remember at the time I thought, oh gosh, wouldn't that be fun? And the family considered getting, a track bike. And then, because dad was talking about it, and then I think dad just weighed it up and looked at me, looked at mum and sort of figured like, you know, we'd end up losing a limb or something. We ended up buying a caravan.
I know.
At the time, I'm like, "What are you doing? No, like, we should have gotten this thing." But it was probably a good decision because, you know, I too would have probably wanted to have pushed it pretty hard and probably would have wrecked it as well. But that is so intriguing that's also been a part of your life.
Yeah, and that I did that before I got into triathlon, and surprisingly, a lot of the bike handling from riding motorcycle really helped me out in triathlon, I believe. One, just the quad and glute strength, because when you're on the racetrack, you're not actually sitting down on the seat of the bike outside of the straightaway. And all the corners, you're hanging off the side in like a squat position with a knee down on the pavement. And that builds up a lot of strength in your core, your glutes, your quads. So when I started riding on my bicycle, a lot of that translated really well. On top of when you're used to throwing around like 500 pounds of a motorcycle around corners, a bicycle's easy.
The Ventum's like tissue weight.
Exactly, right? So, and you kind of, when you're on a motorcycle, you're going to the point where you have this bike almost leaned over, you really learn how far over and get a feel for how far over you can go on tires. So I think that really helped a lot with my bike handling confidence, which is something that I kind of pride myself of being able to make up times in races, because I can corner hard. I was able to play with the limits of what the bicycle can do a lot sooner because I had that confidence from the motorcycle racing days. And just knowing how to do race lines and how to brake hard into the corners and accelerate out again. So I think it actually, helped me for a bit.
Interesting. So interesting. I would never have thought about the weight and the distribution and the squatting and that's really intriguing to me. Like as soon as you say that, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I do find it interesting to kind of, if we did an about face and looked back at your journey, just to see how the path and all the different things that opened up for you and how this added to this added to this, and then that you were able to draw these things into one another and it like to end up where you are right now, like, and it all just seems like logical steps, but again, what a transformation.
It's been a wild ride, it really has. And like you said, sometimes I don't like saying meant to be or anything like that, but it really, things lined up well for me to end up where I am, and I've been given, you know, a lot of opportunities to kind of push my boundaries, and that's led to me getting more comfortable with that, I suppose. So I'm less afraid to go travel halfway around the world and go race or kind of see what I'm capable or go do this workout that seems insane. It's all kind of led up to that, where I've kind of lost that. I don't have as much fear around the unknown, which has helped me a ton.
And so people are at home, this is piping into, you know, wherever they might be. They could be on the train on the way to work. They could be sitting on the couch. But like, what are your three tips that you would give to someone looking to get into endurance activities?
Sure. So the first one, the one place where I find a lot of people between weight loss and endurance sports go wrong is don't go too hard too soon. with that, a lot of people go really, really hard for like the first day or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll be so sore and tired that they can't go on the next day. So they lose that motivation because they're just in pain and think, oh, this is impossible. But if you start incrementally and build up to that point, start easy, start with a 1 minute run, 1 minute walk, and build up from there, it becomes a lot more achievable.
I like it.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think here. Number two, just enjoy it. It doesn't have to be all hardcore and serious, and triathlon should be fun. This is your hobby. It's not like you're racing for a paycheck or your next meal. It's something that you have to enjoy, or else why are you doing it, really?
Yeah.
And then
I like it.
Also, what else would I say in there? Find a community. That honestly, that's been one of the biggest parts of my journey is just finding a community that's been supportive and encouraging. And, you know, through the highs and lows, they've all been there at some point or another. So it makes it so much easier to know that someone else has been there through the lows and experienced it, or just get a little encouragement when you're not feeling it 100%. And it's fun.
I agree. That really does come up a lot. I love the find a community aspect. I have had so much fun. I really, like, I am super inspired by you. I can't wait for my wife to be able to listen to this, listen to this one, because I know that she'll be feeling the same. But if people want to follow along on your journey, where can they follow? You know, is there social media or is it the websites or?
Sure. So I'm all over social media at Jenisair. Sure, it'll be on the title here, how to spell it.
and that's C-A-E-R.
Yeah, that's right.
Jenisair.
Yeah, so all over all the social medias, that's my name there, or jenisair.com. It's one thing I'm thankful for. My parents gave me a name that no one else has, so it makes it easy in this social media age.
Yeah. Well, that's a positive that you don't normally hear. That's clever. Yeah,
I like that. Definitely. But yeah, and I'm always happy to chat triathlon if people have questions or want to say hi or anything. I love this community.
I like it. And they can always get into the MX thing if they even want to get coached by you as well. So
absolutely.
That's something else. But look, again, thank you so much for taking the time to come on today. I have had a lot of fun, and hopefully we can catch up sometime in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on. It has been a good time chatting.